Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting, well, the very fabric of our being, but doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and is brought to you by the cool folks over at epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, I hope you're doing pretty good today. Can you believe it's already like the second week of Lent? Already the second week is almost over. And I hope you're doing well. I hope you're enjoying the time. It is an exciting time, which is kind of like against what we've been teaching too, right? Lent is supposed to be this time where you kind of mellow out, you can look back on your life and you reflect and you have this time of introspection. Well, you know, it's like different dimensions for a priest. Different dynamics for a priest. It's always interesting. People come into the church and they'll say, you know, I really enjoyed the service. I felt comfortable in this church. I felt a time where I could pray. And you got to wonder, what's the priest doing over there? Because, you know, the priest is really leading the congregation. So while everyone's getting ready to come and say, for instance, to participate in the divine liturgy, the priest is busy preparing, getting his thoughts together for a message, getting the people, the dynamics up at the altar together with the choir and so on. So really very little time for that contemplative, that meditative time for the priest. So it's completely, completely different dynamics. And I've been feeling that during this Lenten period, because on the one hand, we've been teaching to slow down, to really be contemplative, to think about what's necessary in life. And then on the other hand, well, through this ministry, we've been just piling it on. And we've been really filling up the cart. And now we're trying to push that cart and understand that, you know, it does take a lot more energy and it takes a lot more resources. So, you know, it's different. Standing here, being the priest and really doing the ministry, I am energized because I think we've reached a new plateau. We've reached a new place where we should be as a ministry, where Armadoxy is going, where this Orthodox faith can be very, very relevant today in the 21st century. And we're feeling that with the responses that we're getting, especially to our daily podcasts. Now we're doing this Lenten journey, which I think that in the next few weeks, we're going to have to really evaluate and figure out if that's going to be an ongoing program, because the response has been phenomenal and overwhelming. So we're excited about that. But do you see what I'm saying? It's like, as a priest, I want to find some time where I can slow down, where I could, re-energize, where I could plug in the rechargeables, you know, and get some energy back in there. But there's no way to slow down. You know, it's just this train that's just going and there's no way to slow down. Because we're doing something exciting. And you know what? When I start thinking in those terms, I say, well, why should we slow down? You know, why should we slow down? Definitely, Lent in itself has this built-in mechanism of slowing down, but it's not the case of just slowing down this train. It's a way of slowing down what's not important in life, okay? And so when I come to the ministry and I realize that we're talking about salvation, we're talking about people connecting with something so essential as love, to be able to actualize peace in our lives, hey, who wants to slow down on that? I don't. I mean, I think that that's exciting. I think that that is something that God has placed in our hearts, and we need to move that forward as quick as we can. And so if the batteries need to be recharged, well, we'll find some time to do that. We will recharge it. God will recharge it. But for us right now, it's important for us to stay focused, because I'm telling you, this is an exciting time as far as this ministry goes. We started off about a year and a half ago with this idea of next step. What is the next step? Well, we've done so many things. We've got an incredible church life. We've got people that are connecting. We've got people that are doing outreach programs, basically taking Jesus's message and putting it into action. Well, that's exciting. So what's the next step? How do we get, you know, the bigger picture? How do we get the rest of the church? And I know. I shouldn't be going there. But I have to. It hurts. It hurts for me to be a servant of the Armenian church and see the rest of the church going in directions that are just so foreign. I mean, like, you have to wonder, like, if Christ was there, like would Christ be a member of your church? You got to wonder that, right? You know, I do that all the time. Would Christ be a part of my church? Would Christ really sit down in one of the pews? Would he be happy with me? I mean, isn't that the ultimate question that every priest has to ask? You know, are you really doing the work? Like, here's a person who came into our lives and he touched the poor. He touched the sick, the ailing, and he even touched the dead. Okay, as a priest, are you doing that? Are you touching the poor? Are you visiting the sick? Are you out there giving water to the thirsty, feeding the hungry? Well, you know, this is where it comes from. And the added dimension of the priest is that you have to be able to inspire others to do likewise. So it's a very complicated formula. And I guess I've been going on for a little bit right now. I'm looking at the time over here. We're at the 7-minute mark in our podcast. I didn't want to go this long in the beginning, but I hope you appreciate it, because you know what we're trying to, we're evolving right now. And I think that the new podcast coming in and this next step, we're starting to define where we're going to be in the next few months, in the next few years. So I'm excited about it. We're going to be talking about it in a few minutes. Today, of course, we've got Ani waiting in the wings. She's ready with her bubbles, and that's going to be exciting. Of course, we've got the song coming up in a minute. And I'm going to be talking about some songs in general, just some inspirations during Lent, what you can do. We're going to be talking about this theme that we kicked around just a couple days ago on the daily podcast. This idea, has Christianity ever been tried? You know, that's an important idea. Has anybody really tried Christianity? Aren't we Christian? Well, okay, wait, before we go there, let's start off with the song of the day. I need some music. Here's Datevig. Enjoy. Oh, Unmistakable sound of Datevig, of course. That is from her Listen to My Heart album. It is a song called Ansrevyegov. The rain came. Kind of appropriate for today. It's like rain just about everywhere. We're still in winter. And of course, we are in the Lenten season, which is kind of a rainy season, right? Spiritually rainy. I know I went off into some little details earlier, telling you about what's going on with me, and I feel comfortable at this time, especially with the listeners of The Next Step. I know you're a different group of people who are really concerned not only about your spiritual growth, but concerned about what's going on in the world, concerned about how that spiritual growth is going to affect others. And I needed to share with you some of the thoughts that I go through, some of the struggles that I go through, because, you know, as a priest, if you're going to take this seriously, if you should, you take it seriously, you've got to realize that, you know, there are people that are depending on you to be this, I don't want to say spokesman for God. I don't want to be presumptuous. I don't want to build into it more than it is. But basically, you're taking this message. You're taking a message that has been given to you 2,000 years ago, and you need to be able to be the prophet, not one who looks in the future, but actually talks to the times, to be able to take that message and make it applicable for the day today. I mean, like, isn't it remarkable that people like Gandhi, people like Martin Luther King or Cesar Chavez, you know, these were people that took the words of Jesus and were able to translate it in a manner that meant the liberation of groups of people. You know, and I mean, let's not forget what happened in Germany. Let's not forget what happened in South Africa. And at the bottom of it, you've got some very deep philosophical, religious ideas, ideologies that are moving these people, that are moving these communities. And when you care about, well, the community around you, be it your family, be it your loved ones or the greater loved ones, your community, your country, your nation, your world, why not? Why not tap into something more spiritually sound than what they're giving us? You know, up until today, everything is being decided by politics. I shouldn't say up until today. I mean, basically the prevalent main way of doing business today in the world is through politics. I mean, I've said this how many times. I mean, we even look at Darfur, where genocide is taking place. And the only answer we have is, well, let's bring in, you know, forces. Let's go and do it politically. Let's go bring down the regimes. And there has to be ways of doing it beyond that. Certainly, Jesus taught us he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. And that's, as we've said earlier, you know, this is not some kind of death sentence on the human race. He's just basically stating an axiom, a truth that everybody knows. You know, violence begets violence. You go and you beat up people, you go and you kill people, well, what are you going to do? You're just going to make more violence. People are going to want to get back at you. And certainly Jesus in his teachings and in his life showed that there is a power that is greater than all of the violence. It is the power of love. And he demonstrated that at Calvary. He demonstrated that by going up on the cross and showing that his love was able to handle all of the violence and all of the pain and the torture that was being thrown out at him. Now, can we take that example and throw it into our lives? This is certainly the challenge. This is the challenge that we have every single day. And whether that life challenge is in the families, in your communities, or in the world, I think that there is a model there. And I definitely know there is a model there just by virtue of my background, knowing that as an Armenian church, there hasn't been any other model we've followed except the model of love for the last 2,000 years. And here is a group of people who has survived and prospered basically on this model. Sure, gone through difficulties, gone through even genocides, but we're still here. So there's something about that love that we're tapping into. And I got to tell you, this last 2 weeks have really opened my eyes since Lent started. You know, Lent, I guess in a way I'm answering my own question that I brought up earlier, right? What does the priest go through in his own journey, in his own Lenten journey? I guess there is a lot of fulfillment because sure, it's not as slow paced for the church, for the clergy as it is for the congregant who's doing it. I mean, definitely the clergy is, you know, tied up with doing all kinds of stuff, getting ready and putting together the programs for his people. But in doing that, I think there's such a satisfaction in knowing that there are ears out there, that there are people who are following. And I really appreciate all of the response we've been getting. I really, really appreciate all of the input you've been providing. And I just want to thank you for that. I thank God every night in my prayers and I thank you right now. But you know what? Today I did say I wanted to get on to some topics about Lent. I hope you're having a good Lent. You know, you're already at the end of the second week. If you haven't been able to do the Lenten practices, you know, check out the website, epostle.net. There are the recipes there, 40 different recipes for the Lenten period, so you don't have to eat meat. Despite what they tell you, you don't have to eat meat. You don't have to eat animal products to live, to survive. And certainly there are some great recipes up on the website. And there are things to do. Each day gives you an opportunity to reflect and bring your life down to the bare minimum. And if you haven't been able to do it, okay, don't be discouraged. Start today. You know, okay, so you didn't do 40 days, you're going to do 30 days. You think God's counting? No. I guarantee God's not counting. Because the days don't even figure out it for him. I mean, you know, don't worry about it. Just start it. Start it. It's a great, great time of life right now. But that being said, I do want to make some recommendations. People have been asking about the music that we've been playing on the things. And I thought that, you know what? I should let you know some of the music that we use and really get you plugged in. Because music does speak. It goes beyond languages, doesn't it? It's always been interesting to me that it's just a combination of 7 or 8 notes, is it? Let's see, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. There's 7 notes. And these 7 notes, somehow, by different timing, by different durations, by different order, you put these 7 notes together, and you have this incredibly wild array, almost infinite possibilities. I guess it is infinite possibilities of music. You know, I mean, listen to every single song that you listen to. It just comes down to basically these 7 notes. Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And I want to share with you a couple albums that I think during the Lenten season you may want to get into. One of them is the Vosgenyan Seminary. People have been asking me, is that kind of a play on your name? No, actually it isn't. There is a seminary. If in Armenia, up until independence, there was one seminary. It was at the Holy See of Etchmiadzin. After the independence of Armenia, a second seminary was set up at Lake Sevan. Lake Sevan is just this most beautiful, beautiful lake. It is a high altitude lake. It is very cold there. I believe that there's only 1 month out of the year that you actually can go into the water because it warms up. I believe that's in August. But it's a very cold, high altitude lake. And right around there is a small seminary that was built and set up, I believe, about 10, 15 years ago, right after the independence of Armenia. And I say that because you know that Armenia used to be a communist country. It used to be under the Soviet Union. When communism fell, Armenia had this opportunity to begin its spiritual life, its spiritual quests on a new day. And so Vazgenyan Seminary, it is named after the late patriarch, His Holiness Vazgen the First, who was the patriarch, the chief Catholicos, the chief bishop of the Armenian Church from 1955 to 1994, one of the longest reigning pontiffs. That's about 39 years that he was the head of the church. And the seminary was named after him, Vazgenyan. Now, what you hear on these podcasts, what you hear on that soundtrack, Ken, can you cue up a little bit? Yeah, let's just play that. So you're hearing the seminarians, and believe it or not, you go into these seminaries and you do hear that every day. It's just beautiful. It really is beautiful. Of course, you're hearing some nice harmonies there that you wouldn't hear outside of these seminary walls too often. But those are the students of the Vazgenyan Seminary, and that is at Lake Sevan. You could find this recording. This particular one is called Arevakal. It was done a few years ago. And just last year, I had the wonderful chance of going and visiting that seminary. And on the day that I was there, actually, they were releasing their second album. And that one used instruments. The first one, Arevakal, the one you just heard, it was all a cappella. This next one, it's called Ornyale Astvads. That one included some musical instruments and just beautiful, beautiful voices. And really during the Lenten season, if you're looking for some music to put you in the mood of doing the fasting, of doing the prayer life, the heightened prayer life, I can't recommend a better couple of CDs than these. This is the Vazgenyan Seminaries. You could find them just about anywhere. If you have any hard time, I know just a couple days ago, I recommended to somebody, Abril Bookstore in Glendale had it. That's ABRIL. And I believe it's just .com. You could find them on the web and, you know, download their catalog and certainly order their music. Now, that's one bit of music that's great. The other one I wanted to tell you about is a CD that came out last year, and it's called Arax. It is called Arax Crossing is the name of that CD. Very, very nice music that kind of puts you in the mood. Of course, one of my favorites, I've got to tell you, it's Gor Mkhitaryan's Spirit album. That album, it's interesting. It's been out now for a year and a half. And I've got to tell you, it's not something that I listen to every day, but every time that I put it on, it just gives me a chance to really reflect on where we do need to be going as people. It is calming. It is fiery at times. It gets you moving. It gets you thinking. An incredible album. That's Gor Mkhitaryan's Spirit album. That, of course, is still available at the In His Shoes website. Drop us an email and you could pick up a copy of that. Another one that you might enjoy is called Divinities. This was put out, I believe, about 10 years ago. It is by Jethro Tull. It is called 12 Dances with God. It's a completely instrumental album and using a lot of folksy riffs and, of course, a lot of heavy metal in there too. It's interesting the combination that you get in there, but very reflective, giving you an opportunity to really sit back, play a little music, and contemplate. So these are some of my picks for this Lenten season that I would highly recommend. There's so many more, and I think you get a feel for them as I play them throughout the next step journeys that we take together. So those are my picks. You know, there's a few more weeks left of Lent. You may want to find some good music to put you in the mood. Like I said, it's just seven notes. Incredible. Incredible what the human mind can do. I think that's real miracle, isn't it? Well, there's another miracle just waiting out in the wings, and that music, these seven notes put together, tell us that Ani is here. Here's Ani to take our imagination off into heaven with her spiritual bubbles for today.
Today's spiritual bubble is a prayer called Heart Prints. Whatever our hands touch, we leave fingerprints on walls, on furniture, on doorknobs, dishes, and books. There's no escape. As we touch, we leave our identity. Oh God, wherever I go today, help me to leave heart prints of compassion, of understanding and love, heart prints of kindness and genuine concern. May my heart touch a lonely neighbor or a runaway daughter, an anxious mother, or perhaps an aged grandfather. Lord, send me out today to leave heart prints, and if someone should say, I felt your touch, may that one sense your love touching through me. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Oh, you caught me off guard. Yeah, that was way too quick. Way too quick. But it was action-packed. I mean, it was jam-packed, wasn't it? You know, of all the things we want to, like, lessen during the Lenten season, the one thing we want to make more of is you, Ani. I mean, don't do these small ones. But I have to admit, that was very appropriate for the day. And I appreciate you doing it. It's about heart prints. Isn't that just tell us everything, especially during the Lenten time, when we're looking at reasons for living, reasons for existence, and really how we're impacting other people. That heart print really does make a big statement. So I appreciate that too. You know, it kind of leads into where we're going in the next segment of this podcast. Just the other day, we were discussing this idea of, has Christianity ever really been tried? And when you read Matthew chapter 5 through 7, Jesus talks about these incredible ideas that you have heard, you shall not commit murder, but I tell you, he who harbors anger against his brother is guilty of murder. Do not commit adultery, but I tell you, he who looks lustfully at another woman commits adultery. And he continues on in this fashion of really equating the thought with the action. And so you've got to wonder, pure Christianity, has that ever really been tried? And I threw that out, I believe, in yesterday's or today's podcast as perhaps a point on which to contemplate, to meditate, certainly to drive our Lenten meditations in that direction. I mean, has Christianity ever been tried? What Jesus was talking about. Has anyone ever really tried exactly what's out there? I remember studying Marxism back in college, and one of the points that really hit me, this was interesting because I went to college in the early 70s, and right after that I had a chance to study in Armenia at the Holy See of Etchmiadzin in 1977-78, during really some very rough times in communist life. I mean, Brezhnev was in charge of the Soviet Union, and it was very evident that communism was there, and there was no escaping it. But what I remember in college reading was Marxism and just this fantastic treatise on economics, the ability to share, to be able to use that wealth in a society, and how that wealth should be distributed. And when you read Marxism, it's fantastic because you actually, if you have some grounding in Christianity, you say that, wow, there's a lot of similarities. I mean, here is a man who's really concerned with the plight of the poor. And one of the statements that Marx made, and it didn't click in my head until after I got back from Armenia, was this idea that, okay, I've given you like the philosophy here, but really the value of this treaty, the value of the manifesto, the value of communism is going to be in its application. And he really wanted to see it applied. And when I got back from Armenia, I remembered that one little statement, because there in Armenia we had an opportunity to see applied communism. And it had failed. It had failed dismally. I mean, all these beautiful ideas that Karl Marx had about sharing the wealth had failed completely. I mean, you're looking at the communist system where the black market was the only way to go. Basically, capitalism was running communism. And I made that point at that time, and somebody had said, well, you know, communism, Marxism, has never really been tried. And that stuck with me. That's really stuck with me until today, too, where I'm really challenging people to think, have we really tried Christianity? Or John Lennon, when he got up and he said, give peace a chance. All we are saying is, give peace a chance. Have we ever given peace a chance? Have we ever given Christ a chance? Christianity a chance? Have we really tried what Jesus has said? Have we really put love first and foremost to be able to say that we can overcome our greatest difficulties, not by weapons, not by destroying, and not by, ready for this, not by politics, but can we do it by practicing love, compassion, care? Big question. And I don't want to keep it on a rhetorical level either. Can we do it in reality? And certainly we have the opportunities. When we talk many times about the philosophy that we have of in his shoes, walking in the shoes of someone else, that's the basic idea. It's, can you walk in the shoes of others? What are you doing at that moment? You're accepting the other person. You're respecting the other person at a completely different level, at a new level. You're not saying, I'm respecting you because I like you. I'm respecting you because I understand your pain. I feel your pain by walking in your shoes. And this, in fact, becomes a way that we can really actualize the Christian message. Christianity, Jesus is calling us to this higher calling, to be able to say that, you know, I would definitely never kill anybody, but I would never be angry at anybody. I would never let my rage overcome me to the point that I would lose control. Now, can we do it? I don't know. I can't. I have a hard time. I have a hard time, not just in, I'm not a rageaholic, of course. I hope I'm not, but I have a hard time reaching that perfection that Jesus talks about. I mean, he's talking about a perfection that is about emotions, that comes from the heart, not from the brain. You see, when he says, I have told you, he says, you have heard that you should not murder, but I tell you, that he who has anger towards his brother, he who calls his brother a fool or curses him, is guilty of that murder. What's he saying? It's not about brain power. It's about heart power. Just what Ani said a few minutes ago, the heart print. Where is your heart print? Where do you put that print? You know, this is the challenge of the Lenten season, is really to take it away from the brain and give it to the heart. St. Nerses Shnorhali so beautifully and eloquently says in his prayer, you know, the Havadov Chostavanim, it is written in the first person. It is a prayer that you have with God. It's a one-on-one with God. It's an incredible prayer. I mean, check it out. It's, of course, again, on our website. We've got all these resources. I can't help but plug the website. Okay, wait, get back to it. Okay, here it is. On the ninth hour, now there's 24 verses of this prayer, each of them corresponding to one of the hours of the clock. So in the ninth hour, he talks about something that probably goes unnoticed. Now let me read it once to you and you listen to it and tell me if you pick up something very unusual. He says, All provident Lord, place your holy fear as a guard before my eyes so that they may no longer look lustfully. Before my ears, so that they may not delight in hearing evil words. Before my mouth, so that it may not speak any falsehood. Before my heart, so that it may not think evil. Before my hands, so that it may not do injustice. Before my feet, that it may not walk in the paths of injustice. But so direct them that they may always be according to your all your commandments. Have mercy on your creatures and upon me, a great sinner. Amen. Now, did you catch what's unusual? What was the unusual point about this? I don't know if you caught it or not, but he talks about his eyes seeing, no longer seeing lustfully. Talks about his ears hearing. He talks about his mouth talking or speaking. And he talks about his feet walking. But he talks about his heart thinking. Interesting, huh? He doesn't say, place a guard over my brain so that it may think no evil. He says, before my heart so that it may not think evil. That heart has this capacity to think. That heart has this capacity to reach out, to extend itself. That's the heart that Jesus was talking about when he talked about having compassion, having love. It's not a brain action. It's a heart action that goes against, really, what the brain says. Because the brain is conditioned to do things, well, tit for tat, right? I'll treat you good if you treat me good. That's a brain action. I'll treat you good even if you don't treat me good is a heart action. I'll love you if you love me. That's a brain action. I'll love you even if you hate me is a heart action. Now, can we get to that hard point? Try. That's what I'm asking. Can we get to it? It's difficult. I mean, there is no question about it. We constantly have this conflict between our emotions and physical abilities, our reasoning power, our wisdom that is out there. And we realize that that emotion is a heart action. It's a heart print. Those emotions don't have any sense to them. Well, most of the time they don't, right? But you know that they are right. You know that they are pure. And there's some purity that we need to celebrate. And so just because it hasn't worked in our past doesn't mean that we need to abandon it. Perhaps we need to come up with the new models where that can work. And that's what the next step should be for each of us. The next step. We've got all the wisdom that we need. We've got all the knowledge that we need. Combined together, we're at a fantastic place in life right now. The 21st century gives us not only the wisdom, gives us an opportunity to access that wisdom, that understanding, and all of that power, the strategies that are out there. But maybe there's something a little bit more than that. And that's that emotion that really doesn't make sense on the reasoning side. And just because it hasn't happened in the past doesn't mean it can't happen in the future. It can't happen today in our lives. This Sunday, this coming Sunday, we remember the prodigal son. In the Armenian church, it is the Sunday of the prodigal. Now, in past podcasts, I've addressed it. We're going to address it in our daily podcast coming up in a couple days. But for today, I'm inviting you to read the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. It's really the story, sure, of squandering. It's a story about returning home, but it is also the story of, well, reason as opposed to heart, isn't it? There are so many dimensions. Actually, I think I've said this before. If everything was lost in Christianity, if nothing reached us today except this one little story of the prodigal son, it would be enough to understand what God is all about. Think about it for a moment. It's a story of love, of compassion, of heart overcoming reason. And in overcoming it, giving us this incredible example of, do you want peace and harmony in your life? Well, do the same. Do the same. Reach out to people. It's a story about a son leaving, squandering everything that's been given to him, and then realizing that there is love back at home, coming back home, and despite reason, is accepted wholeheartedly with open arms, is squeezed, yes, not just a hug, but is squeezed back into the fold. And this despite himself. And that's really what we are with God. Despite ourselves, there's this incredible love that he has for us. Somebody asked me the other day, they said that, you know, I wasn't able to get through the first 3 days of Lent, and is it okay if I start late, you know? And, you know, I said, it's okay. And then they said, well, will God love me? I mean, it really hit me. Will God love me? And I thought that the person was joking, actually, until I realized that, you know, no, there's so much of what we understand about religion that comes to us from childhood, and we have these childhood concepts. Will God love me? Will God take care of me? Of course, God always loves you. That's the point of the prodigal. No matter what you do, God always loves you. And when I say, can we really make Christianity a real religion? Can we really practice it? It means us. We ourselves need to do the same. Doesn't God say that to us, right? He says, I will not forgive you unless you forgive others. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Yes, it is dependent on the we. We have to do something too, right? God is unconditional love, right? You could say that. Sure, he gives out. But what does that mean to us? Religion is not about God. It's not about what God's going to do for us. It's about how we're going to get along with one another. How we're going to love one another. How we make this existence we call life a better and more harmonious relationship than it was in the past. And can we do away with the wars? Can we do away with the hatred, with the atrocities that take place in the world? Well, we can, by first and foremost, we being the ambassadors of that peace in our own lives, being the heart, being the one who opens our arms to the possibilities that are all around us. You see, the story of the prodigal is such a beautiful one because it reflects life in many dimensions. It reflects the love that God has, and it becomes an instruction for each and every one of us to mimic that same action of love, that same ability to love others in our own lives. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Can it be done? Can Christianity really be practiced in the world? Yes, it can. But it's not dependent on God doing it. It's dependent on you. It's dependent on me. On us opening up our hearts, not our minds, but our hearts to the possibility that is out there. That's what this Lenten season should be teaching us. That, you know, we're looking at what's the basics. What do we need to survive in this life? You don't need much else than the very breath that God gives you and the love that he places in your heart. And right now we're in the middle of Lent, but it could be any time. I think this is where we're going when we talk about the next step, the Christian next step, the Ormodoxy next step, this idea of being able to transform from the reason to the heart and making that really an application that works in our lives. That is the next step. Well, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Before going away, I do want to invite you Friday evening on the 26th. That's tomorrow night by my date, and hopefully you're listening to this podcast before then. Please join us at epostle.net. Press on the broadcast button. We're going to be kicking off the new famine project, and that is an opportunity for you to get involved in something that we do every year. It's the In His Shoes annual famine. We fast for 30 hours along with World Vision participants throughout the world, but we strategically do it on April 24th to bring attention to the plight of genocide victims. And here is your opportunity to do something, well, very tangible for those genocide victims, those people suffering. And as people always talk about the Armenian genocide being the first of the 20th century, sadly, it wasn't the last. We've had Holocausts after that. We've had Cambodia, Rwanda, Bosnia, and today we have Darfur. And it's really, what can the people of the first genocide of the 20th century offered to the people of the first genocide of the 21st century. We're offering a lot. We're offering not as much as we should be, but definitely much more than most people did back in 1915. You want to do something? This is your chance. Join us at epostle.net. Press on the broadcast button. That's 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So it depends where you are on in the world. Those of you in Europe, I know it's going to be pretty late. Do not despair. The broadcast will be archived, so just go there whenever you can, and you will see the broadcast. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about what's involved in the famine, how you fast, what's necessary, how to do the collections, where the money's going to go, all kinds of important stuff, and just some great, great times. So listen, join us, epostle.net, and epostle.net becomes now the voice of inhisshoes.org. Check us out at inhisshoes.org, where you'll find the information, the background, everything you need. We're trying to find ourselves. I'm just excited you're part of this evolution that we're going through, and we always appreciate your feedback, your input. So please drop us an email, drop us a line anywhere you can. There's all kinds of feedback buttons here and there. It goes either to Susie, to myself, to our small little staff that we have assembled in Glendale. And if you're in Glendale, let me tell you that, if you happen to be in Glendale, California, anytime, we'd love to see you at our church. We're at the corner of Stocker and Kenilworth. Big operation over there with small footprints, if I do say so myself. Listen, it's great to have you with us today. Join us at our websites and continue to keep us in your prayer. I hope that this Lenten period is a blessed one for you, filled with many of God's blessings, and thank you very much for joining us. For the staff that puts this together, for Susie, our producer, for Ani with her bubbles, for Ken engineering this, going on 2 weeks without a smoke, good for you. This is Father Bosque, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.